This is part 5 of 7 of my interview with George Morrow of the Humble Road YouTube channel and Custom Van Shop in New Jersey. You'll find links to the Humble Road channel and much more in the show notes, aka description, for this episode in your podcast app. Okay, let's get right into part 5 of my interview with George Morrow. Please enjoy.
Criticism is why am I not welding aluminum?
Oh, interesting.
It's that erector set quality that 80/20 has. I can edit. As I said before, every one of my vans is different. And even though I do a very detailed cardboard build, when we get to the real build using 80/20, things change. Sometimes the client makes a change halfway through. I'm making changes on Sam's van right now. We're going to deliver it in 2 weeks. But I'm making design changes now. And I can do that because the 80/20 allows for it. And that goes back to the luxury of making each one of these vans so specific to the customer. Because I'm not committing to a weld. If I did typical plywood box cabinetry, you're pretty much stuck with that. If you want to edit an entire galley, you almost have to start from scratch.
Right.
And rebuild it out of plywood. But with the 80/20, now obviously if my insert panels are in, I've got to cut those. But then those are, you know, they're inserted in my channels. So it's just an edit. It doesn't hurt the wood. It doesn't look like a patch job or a DIY job.
Minimal cost.
It's minimal cost. And it allows for this kind of reactionary design work to happen. These are all brainstorms that go on in the pea brain, right? And sometimes halfway through, I get this big epiphany and I have to go back to something in the garage that's already been done, but I got to change it because I just thought of something better that's going to affect me down the road with this, you know. So it's editable. That is the main reason I use 80/20.
Okay.
Is I can edit it. It's lightweight. It's costly. But I prefer it. You know, wood, it's an earthquake inside a van, and I don't trust wood screws. I don't use sheet metal screws if I can help it. I like everything to be through bolted. And I bring the vans in. I do the annual tighten up. So a client comes back once a year, and we go over every nut and bolt in the 80/20 build, and I make sure it's tight. Van number one is the only one that's come back. I don't think I'll ever see Dave and Irene again because they don't sit still for very long. But both Dave and Irene and van number one, they have traversed this country almost a dozen times now within the year, 2 years that they're out in these vans.
Yeah.
And van number one came back for her tighten up and there wasn't one bolt that shook loose. Because 80/20, when you bear down on the channel, it creates a lock washer effect.
Sure.
With the channel flanges.
The tension.
And then I use the tension. And I use Loctite. I have since switched to Nylock nuts, where
really?
I use nuts. Yeah.
Versus or as well as Loctite?
Oh, in addition to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I use the Loctite. Are you kidding? I make peanut butter and Loctite sandwiches. That's how much I like Loctite.
That stuff is incredible. Oh my
it is.
God. When you have to loosen one of those things, if it's red, especially, you have to use a torch, right?
Yeah. I don't use the red. I use the blue.
Okay.
Because I do have to break that seal sometimes to edit. But, and that's the other thing is I'll build the galley, without torquing down my nuts or my screws. And once I'm set, then I take each screw out, Loctite it, put it back in, square it up, and torque it down. It's time consuming. But this is the kind of van I want to build. And believe me, they pay for it. It's not a cheap van.
Certainly not.
It's an expensive van, but these are people who understand what they're buying and what their money is going towards.
You've created such a great environment for your business, except like YouTube is a business in and of itself, but it's feeding the actual building. It's really brilliant. And YouTube has made that kind of thing possible. And I think it's like maybe the highest and best use of YouTube, by the way, you know, aside from just straight up entertainment, but not that your videos aren't entertaining. People listening, if you haven't watched any Humble Road yet, run, don't walk. And of course I'll put links in show notes, to some of George's videos because they're very entertaining. And you just do such a great job with cinematography and everything. But anyway,
thank you.
And again, it's just a really cool business structure where you say, here's how I build, and you know, and then you build people by the vans.
Well, that's it. My YouTube channel is actually a reverse brochure, a reverse sales brochure. You know, typically you create a product, you make a brochure, then you try to sell it using the brochure.
Yeah.
But in my case, people can see the product being built from day one. They know all about it.
Yeah.
And it makes for a very easy sale.
Yeah.
And the YouTube, getting back to YouTube.
There's no selling to do.
I don't have to sell. No. If you watch the videos, you know what Humble Road's all about. And then it's up to you if you want to pay for that kind of a van.
Right.
But the videos, when I first started, I had a lot of fun. And you know, they were entertaining even to me. I really enjoyed making those early videos. I could tell a story, I could weave onto tangents and then bring it back around. Lately, and I can see this in the videos, I've become very technical and very serious because, you know, now I'm a serious builder and there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
And I want to get back. I want to have some fun again with the videos. I think it's an important aspect. I've got creative demons that have to be satisfied, and these videos, I can never not do them. I can't hire out the work to a cameraman or an editor.
Certainly
I can't
not.
Do it. I've got to do it myself.
Well, like Casey Neistat says, because people were telling him, why are you spending 6 hours editing a 10-minute video or whatever? And he said, look, the video itself, video assets, that's like a box full of paints. The editing is the painting.
And that's right.
The actual creative work. And it's also the most time consuming, you know, even when you consider some of his shots where, man, he put the camera, you know, 20 yards away just so he could walk through, you know, along a trail in the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps that he's a marathon runner, I'm sure. Right.
Right.
But anyway, that's cool. All the creative stuff. And I did notice you've cranked down your time on videos. They're 10 minutes or so now, and they're straight to the point. Here's what I'm doing. Here's how I'm doing it. And I appreciate both, by the way. I think that there's no crime in doing an occasional, you know, 20-minute highly creative with hilarious, you know, creeper animations under the vans and all that really fun stuff that you do. Bruce Springsteen quotes and et cetera, peppered with the short, sweet technical stuff. I think it's all great.
I do. I enjoy it. The format that I've adopted now better suits my time schedules.
Uh-huh. Of course, because you're working so hard. I mean, I was thinking about that when, you know, all the time you were doing those long videos. Man, this guy's putting in so many hours on video. And so I wasn't surprised when there was a hiatus and then a format change. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
you got to build vans, man.
Yeah, I have to do both, actually. That's the problem. But this seems to be working. It's, you know, I get maybe two or three videos out a week. They are shorter. They're to the point. But people seem to, you know, I'm getting comments that they do like that rather than once a week. That once a week video that's 24 minutes, that takes a long time to produce.
Ooh.
And it has to be good or I won't put it up. So it's a lot of pressure during the week.
You know, it's also helpful to those of us who are looking for technical input. One time I messaged you and I said, hey, George, which video was, you know, such and such thing? And you just replied, man, I couldn't tell you.
No. Yeah.
Because it was buried, you know, and it was a technical thing buried in a long video. And I eventually found it. But this is very helpful for anybody who needs, what was that crimper thing? Oh yeah, it's right there. It's a, you know, it's a 10-minute video. It's
right.
Short and sweet and to the point. So
yeah,
advantages
yeah.
to that.
Yeah. More content specific.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on. I want to talk about your production van project that you've referred to as Mini-Me's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to start.
Hey, that wraps up today's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're giving away a useful van life resource over at vansage.com. The Campervan Essentials Checklist for packing and outfitting your van. It's the easy-to-use download for making sure you've got all your van life essentials on board before you hit the road, and it's free at vansage.com. And there's more. You're going to get the Vansage newsletter, packed with exclusive van building, living, and traveling resources. And we've got more useful downloads coming soon. You can find all that via the link in the description for this or any Campervan podcast episode, or just head over to vansage.com and click the appropriate button. Okay, thanks again for listening. Until the next episode, best of luck in all your endeavors and enjoy your van life adventure.
I double dare you to sit over here. I double dare you to lend me your ear. Take off your high hat and let's get friendly. Don't be a scared cat. Say, what do you care? Can't you take a dare? I double dare you.